Morning, everybody. The Kriyas HaTorah for Hanukkah is recorded in the Gemara. It's supposed to be from Karbanos HaNesiim. We read from Parshas Naso that when Moshe Rabbeinu completed the building of the Mishkan and the Midbar, right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, the last 7 days in the month of Adar were called the Shivas Me'amiluim. Special Karbanos were brought. And then the first 12 days in Chodesh Nissan, Rosh Chodesh Nissan was the Shmini L'Miluim, and then the first 12 days in Nissan, special Karbanos were brought by each one of the Nesiim from the Shvatim, the Chanukas HaMizbeach. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash writes that this, in his opinion, is one of the 613 mitzvahs, that whenever you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdosh, you're supposed to celebrate. So during the period of the second Beis HaMikdosh, every other week there was another yontif. Sometimes the yontif would be for 1 day, for 3 days, for 5 days, for 10 days. Hanukkah was instituted during the period of the second Beis HaMikdosh. The victory of the Chashmonaim was a little over 200 years before the Korban Habayis, and the Beis HaMikdosh was straightened out. They were bringing Korbanos for Avodah Zarah. The whole Beis HaMikdosh was used for Avodah Zarah purposes. Everything was straightened out. They had to make a new Mizbech, they had to make a new Menorah. So that's why they instituted all the Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainus. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, all the Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainus all revolve about things that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash. All of these Yamim Tovim are Yimei Simcha. That's how the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah. He writes that the 8 days of Chanukah are Yimei Simcha. In what sense is it Yimei Simcha? So the Yamim Tovim and the Chumash, Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, have a real Chi of Simcha. So machta v'chagecha, you're obligated to bring Shalmei Simcha. Every individual Jew who comes to Yerushalayim, men and women, are obligated to participate in Shalmei Simcha. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Rambam writes, we don't recite Hallel because they're not Yemei Simcha Yisera. That's how he understands the Gemara. The Gemara says, the angels ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how come the Jewish people don't recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Rabban Shalom says that the Jews are right, Sifra Chaim, Sifra Meisim, Suchim, Lefonai, it's not a time to say Hallel. So the Rambam understands that Gemara to mean that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are Yimei Simcha, but not Yimei Simcha Yisera. It's a toned down Simcha. Rosh Chodesh is also a Chi of Simcha. The Tur in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh quotes from the Gaonim that there is a Chi of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh, and they demonstrated based on the Pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, where it says, "Of Yom Simchaschem of Amadechem Rosh Hashanah Meskaitem Machatzoytzus Alolasechem Malzivchish Hamechem Vechulei." A whole long pasuk. So since the pasuk puts together Yom Simchaschem Amadechem Rosh Hashanah, so the Gaonim say, you see from the Gemara that there is a Chi of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. But the whole nature of the Chi of Simcha is only b'shevi al tasim. You're not obligated to do anything the kumli asay. The Gemara records a minhag to recite Halal Bediluk, what we call Chatzi Halal Amrish Chodesh. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Tainus that Rav was already an adult. He had learned by Rabbi Yudah Nasi, and then he came from Bavel, he went back to Bavel. And when he came to Bavel, the Balabatim were violating Basa B'cholov, and they didn't know the laws of Shabbos, and they didn't know a lot of things. They were Amaratzim, and he established a yeshiva, and he taught a lot of Torah. So when he came to Shul on the first Rosh Chodesh, that he was there in Bavel, the Balabatim was reciting Halal. So he thought to himself, there they go again, they don't know anything. They think you say Halal on Rosh Chodesh. He went to the Chazan to tell him to stop saying Halal. So by the time he got up to the Chazan Zamud, the Chazan had already skipped the paragraph. So then it dawned upon Rav that it must be a minig that they have. He had never heard of the minig before. He was already an adult. He learned by Rabbi Yudah Nasi in Eretz, so never heard of the minig. So reciting of Hallel is a minig. Amrish Chodesh, that's why there's a machlokes, whether you say a bracha or not. The Gemara says you say a bracha on Hadlokas Neres Chanukah and Nikra Megillah because it's a mitzvah midirabbanan. So it's reasonable to say Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah Yisav v'tzivanu, even our Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't instruct us min HaTorah to observe the mitzvahs midirabbanan, but at least it's an obligation midirabbanan. But if you have a minig, that's even lower than a din derabbanan. So that's a famous machlokes. There's many svardim follow the shitas HaShulchan Aruch, the Harambam, that a bracha is not recited on Chatzi Halal. because Chatzi Halah is only a minute. Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, follows the Tosfos, that you do recite the bracha even on a minute, like Hadlokas Haner on Erev Yom Kippur. The Mishnah says it's only a minute, so Svardim will not say a bracha on Hadlokas Haner on Erev Yom Kippur, and Ashkenazim will say a bracha. So reciting the Halal on Rosh Chodesh is only a minute, that's clear in the Gemara. That's why the Svardim don't recite a bracha, but there is a Chi of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. In what way do we fulfill Simcha B'Shevi Al Tasen? We don't permit hesped and we don't permit tainus. If someone, if there's a funeral, chalila, on Rosh Chodesh, you're not permitted to recite hesped, not permitted to deliver hesped, and one is not permitted to fast the whole day on Rosh Chodesh. You're not obligated to have a suda with bread and to bench and to recite the Yalav Yovet, to be kaveh the suda as a suda of Rosh Chodesh. That's a midas chasidus, that's not a real din. But there is an isa Titus, and from the Rambam would appear, from the Gemara would appear, from the Rambam would appear, that's a din menatur, that Rosh Chodesh there's a chiyuv simcha b'shevi al tasa. There's no obligation to express the simcha b'kum v'yasei, but it's simcha b'shevi al tasa. So all the Yavim Tovim and Megillas Titus, which were introduced during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, but sure have something or another to do with the Beis HaMikdash, are all listed in Megillas Titus. Megillas Titus is a book, a Megillah, that was written at the time that it was prohibited, still prohibited, to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. The Mishnais was still being recited Bal Peh. And the Megillah Steinus, Rashi comments, Megillah Steinus called the Megillah because it was written down before the Mishnais. Megillah Steinus starts with Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, goes in order of the months of the Jewish calendar, and it lists off all the Yamim Tovim that were introduced by the Chachamim. Why is it called Megillah Steinus? Because it starts, it's written in Aramaic, it starts off, Ilan Yomaya, these are the days on which it's forbidden to fast. It's also to have a tainus, and a lot of them it's also even to deliver a hesped, or to listen to a hesped, also the hesped, the tainus. Pattern after, called the Tikkun Rabbanu Kein Deraisa Tikkun, it's patterned after the Yontif, the Eraisa Am Rosh Chodesh. The Rosh Chodesh, there's a Chiyav Simcha B'Shevi Al Tasa, they're not obligated to do something, B'Kum Be'Yasei Am Rosh Chodesh, the reciting of Halal. The Diluk is only a minig, and the Sudas Rosh Chodesh is only a Midas Chasidus, Mikir Adin, you're not mechuyev to have a Sudas Rosh Chodesh. But the Gaonim quoted by the Torah say that there is a Chiyav Simcha, that Simcha V'Shevi Al Tasa, this is a Hesped V'Tainus. So the same is true regarding Chanukah, as well as all of the Yamim Tovim in the Gilas Tainus. There was a great Gaon who lived, must have died around 90 years ago, 80, 90 years ago, Rabbi Tzel Eponavision. Rabbi Yitzchak Rabinowitz, he was a great genius. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik had very high opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak Aponavajah because he was a phenomenal machadish. He was a very original thinker. He made a lot of pilpulim, but when it came halacha lemaisa, so the rabbanim were not too happy with the way he was a rabbi in Aponavajah. But they were not too happy with the way he came up with original chidushim, sometimes against the Shulchan Aruch. So he has a famous chidush, on Chol HaMoed, let's say, or on Chanukah, if there's a funeral, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to say a hesped. Who's not allowed to say a hesped? So he says the rabbi is not allowed to say a hesped, but the children of the one who died have the status of oinanim, and an oinan calls manshe mesim mutalafonot until the gvura. The oinan is not permitted to observe mitzvahs. He's not permitted to violate averis, but he's not permitted to be mekayim mitzvah saseh. So he came up with this fantastic chiddush that to deliver a hesped on Chanukah is not really an iser, it's a bitla mitzvah of simchas Chanukah. There's a mitzvah of simcha.
Can I check in from
Baruch Hashem. So the mitzvah of simcha on Chanukah may not be fulfilled by the oinen. So he's permitted to deliver a hesped. That was his original chiddush. His opinion was not accepted because it's assumed that not only is it prohibited to deliver a hesped, it's prohibited to listen to the hesped. So the other people who are listening are not reading it. So they're also in violation of the yisum. Why should you assume it's only an yisum to deliver a hesped? It's also to listen to the hesped as well. So that's what the basic Yom Tov of Chanukah is all about. Also the hesped b'tainus has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. All the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainus all have to do with the Beis HaMikdash. And it's all based on the Parsha of Karbanos HaNesim, the Kriyas HaTorah on Chanukah, That's the secret to the whole Yom Tov of Chanukah, to all the Yom Tov of Megillas times. Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash in the end of Parshas Nosa that he thinks that this is a mitzvah menater. Whenever you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash, you're obligated to celebrate. So here in the days of the Hashmonai, they didn't complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash. They cleaned up the Avodah Zarah, they made a new Mizbech, they made a new Menorah, they started bringing Korbanos L'Shamayim, but it had a lot to do with the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's only Midrabbanan. The obligation in Atar is only when you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But this is voluntary. This is an Eina Mitzvah Yes. It's a Mitzvah Kiyumis, Minatero. You're not Mechuyev to celebrate the Anachanikim and Atar, but it's a Kiyumah Mitzvah to celebrate. In addition to being a Yontif within the series of all the Yom Tovim of Megillas Tainis, Chanukah was introduced as with specific mitzvahs midrabbanan. The Braisa in Megillas Tainis records that the Chachamim, the Shana Acheres, the year after the victory of the Chashmonaim, he introduced the Yontif for 8 days, Bahalal Bahadoya, that Halal should be recited, and we should recite Alanisim in the Shmoneh Esrei. Whenever halal is an obligatory, then you recite the whole halal. Halal Chanukah, you say halal shalom. Halal Rosh Chodesh is only a minik. That's what the Gemara says. We say bediluk to indicate that we're not really obligated. Halal Chanukah is really medina. We're obligated to recite halal. Halal Nisim in the Shemoneh Esrei, the Mishnah Berurah says that for many, many centuries, the Sidurim had a mistake. It said halal Nisim. It doesn't make sense. It should be V'ala Nisim above. You say Moedim Anachna Loch. We thank you. Achayen Amsurim Biyadech V'Anishmasein Apkudosof Anisech Shebuchol Yamimanim Aniflasech V'Tavisech Shebuchol Eser V'Avoyte V'Tzavroim V'Ala Nisim Ala Purkan. We thank Hakadosh Baruch Hu for A, B, C, D, and E. V'Ala Nisim. In fact, that's how the Rambam has it. Anisech Shebuchol Erev V'Avoyte V'Tzavroim V'Ala Nisim Ala Purkan. In Archmal Esri, it doesn't read straight. We sum up, we say, HaTov Kelechol HaRachamech Ma'amrachim Kelechamech HaSadechim V'yolak V'vinolof. Then you say V'yala Nisim. So it doesn't make sense. So the Rambam has V'yala Nisim earlier, after Erev HaBoker V'tzoharayim. It fits in much better. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Haskamas Achrayim. That is a misprint in all the Sidurim. Some people are upset. How can you follow the Mishnah Berurah? He's changing the meaning. It's a meaning for centuries. The Rabbanim in every generation have to be on the alert and they have to point out whenever people are making mistakes. Rashi's grandchildren reversed Psukim of Rashi because they said Rashi made a mistake. You don't have such respect. You're going to have respect for Rashi. You'll never budge.
If you say afterwards, Baal Kulam, that's why some writers say Baal Nisim and then Baal Kulam. So it's basically Baal Nisim, the continuation of Mormon. Then,
we sum up. Yeah.
We usually don't use twice and in one sentence. So.
But here in Moedim you do.
Like,
we say Al Nisech Al Chayir Amisur Medecha Baal Nishmasein Ab Kuslach Baal Nisech Shabuchayim Emanu Baal Niflasech Utav Vesech. So you have three ands. You first say Al Chayir Amisur Medecha Baal Nishmasein Baal Chayir Baal Nisech. So you have three ands. So you add on another fourth and Baal Nisim Al Apur. You add on another end. Regarding Al Nisim in Birchas Hamazon, so the Gemara has a question. Is that part of the original Takana, that you have to mention Al Nisim in Birchas Hamazon the same as in the Shemoneh Esrei? The Gemara comes to the conclusion that no. The obligation, the Takana Satanaim, to recite the Al Nisim is only in Tefillah. There is no obligation to have a Suda on Chanukah. So you're not, so even if you have a Suda, you're not obligated to recite the Al Nisim. The Gemara says it's a minik. In the days of the Tanaim, it's a minik. And it doesn't constitute a hefsek. One could argue the point, if there's no takanas chachamim, it should be considered a hefsek in the middle of the Birchas Hamazon. Gemara says, no. If you want to say, you're permitted to say, and it doesn't constitute a hefsek. Magen Avraham has an interesting chiddush, which we don't follow. Magen Avraham writes, what if it's Shabbos Chanukah, and a person ate on Shabbos, and he recites Birchas Hamazon and he says V'alanisim alapurkan, then he got so exhausted from saying the whole alanisim he forgot to say Ritzei afterwards. So the Gemara says that if the person recites Birchas Hamazon on Shabbos, he forgot to say Ritzei, he has to repeat the Birchas Hamazon a second time. When he says the second Birchas Hamazon, in order to gain Haskara Ritzei, Does he have to say Al HaNisim a second time? Or is it sufficient the fact that he said Al HaNisim the first time? So the Magen Avraham writes an interesting idea. Since Al HaNisim is not a chova, the Gemara said the Feresh, it's only a minig. So the minig only once, the minig only was that you say Al HaNisim in the benching once after the meal. If you have an unusual situation where you have to recite Birchas HaMazon twice after one meal, that's very unusual. He forgot to say the first time, so he has to recite Birchas HaMazon a second time. And he already said Al HaNisim in the first Birchas HaMazon. So the Magen Avraham says you're not obligated to recite, even there isn't even a minig. Minig is only binding if it's a Dovah HaMatzui, if it's a common thing. If it's an unusual case, there's no minig on that. So the Magen Avraham says when you bench the second time around, the Gain would say, you're not obligated to recite Al HaNisim the second time. The Nitziv in his commentary on the Shiltas writes that this is based on a line in the Rambam, in Hilchas Shechita. And the Rambam, in the middle of Hilchas Shechita, quotes all the dinim of Hilchas Treifas. So we have Treifas that the Rambam writes, we have Treifas that are awesome in our Torah, then we have Treifas that are awesome in the Rabbanon, then you have Treifas that are only awesome itam minik. Then the Rambam says, if the animal has, he describes a specific disease, a certain type of a disease, it's not even awesome itam minig because it's a dovashen omatsui, it's a very rare occurrence, and a minig is not binding on a dovashen omatsui. So even though there's a minig to declare that it's treif, a minig is not binding on a dovashen omatsui. So that's what that Magen Avraham is based on. The Mishnah Berurah says that the later poskim don't accept the Magen Avraham because we don't really follow that Rambam. That Rambam seems to hold, that's how Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained that Rambam. The Rambam seems to hold that minhagim are only binding if it's a minig hatzibur. If it's a minig hayochid, you're not mechuyev to observe it. Personal minig. If it's a minig hakehila, minig hatzibur, the minig hatzibur is binding because otherwise the person will be in violation of parish midarkei hatzibur. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva, that's a separate issur. One who's parish midarkei hatzibur. The Rebbe writes on the Rambam, what did he do? Did he worship Avodah Zarah? What avera did he do? The answer is no. The Rama meant parish midarkei hatzibur. He observes all the 613 mitzvahs, but he doesn't join the tzibur. He does everything on his own, and that's keneged adin, because the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael as a nation. When we recite Birchas HaTorah every day, we say Shabbos Habanim Kol Hamim V'Nasan Lanu Es Tayrosay. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael as a nation. Shabbos Habanim Kol Hamim V'Nasan Lanu, to the nation. The Torah was given. It wasn't given to Yechidim. So if a person going to observe Torah mitzvahs all by himself, that's not the way it's supposed to be. If a person is stuck in a desert island, he's the only one there. So he has no choice. So he's fulfilling the mitzvahs along with all the other Jews all over the world. But if a person lives in a community where there is a tzibur, and he's parish midarkei hatzibur, that itself is an aveir. So the Rambam holds that if you have a minik hatzibur that's a dovashen matzui, it's not noticeable that he's parish midarkei. So you can't say that that's an isim. But we don't really follow that Rama. We hold la halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Yoredei at the beginning of Chelek Gimel Yoredei Simen Reish Yudalit. It's a whole simen dedicated to the binding force of Minhagim. So we follow the Ran in Maseches Nedarim Daf Peyam Beis. The Ran quotes from the Balei Antosis, who interpreted the Gemara that a minig is binding mitam neder. If a person would have taken a neder to observe a midas chasidus, and a neder would be binding. So minig toiv is binding mitam neder midirabbanon. That's how the Gemara says. That's a violation of bal yachel midirabbanon. Bal yachel dvara is a din in the Dorim. There's a bal yachel midirabbanon if a person doesn't observe the minig that he himself accepted upon himself. And minig atzibur is considered a neder of the tzibur. Minig ayachid is considered a neder of the yachid. So that's why we don't really follow this Rambam, that a minig is not binding on a dovashen matzah. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says we don't follow this Magen Avraham. Even if a person is reciting Birchas HaMazon a second time after the same meal, the first Birchas HaMazon on Shabbos he said Al HaNisim and he forgot to say Ritzei. And the second time he benches to gain Ritzei, he should mention Al HaNisim as well. What if he did the reverse? What if it's Shabbos Chanukah and the person recites Birchas HaMazon, he remembered Ritzei, but he forgot to say Al HaNisim. So Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to repeat the benching because you weren't mechuyev in the first place to mention Al HaNisim. Al HaNisim is only a minig. The Nitziv, again, in his commentary on the Shiltas, Nitziv was a teenager when he wrote this commentary on the Shiltas. So the Nitziv married the daughter of Rav Itzel of Alojana, who was the son of Rav Chaim of Alojana. Chaim Volozhin, the founder of Volozhin Yeshiva in 1801. So after he passed away, his son Rabbi Tzala Volozhin was the head of the yeshiva. After he passed away, so his sons-in-law were the Rashi HaYeshiva. So the Netziv was the youngest. He was very young. His wife was older than him. So he was the youngest of the sons-in-law. As it turns out, way later, Volozhin lasted for 90 years. So the Netziv was the Rosh Hashim Volozhin the last 39 years. That's a very long period of time. And there were attempts, there were attempted coups by direct descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhin to take over the yeshiva from him, and they never succeeded. He remained the Rosh Yeshiva for the last 39 years of Volozhin. That's a long time. So when he was a young boy, he got married, I think, right after his bar mitzvah. So when he was around 16, 17, he wrote his commentary on the Shultas, and I follow whoever looks in the Shultas. Because of him, people look in the Shultas now. So he has a chiddush. He says the Shilta seems to be of the opinion. He doesn't say we pass them like this. Shulchan Aruch says we don't. He thinks that according to the Shilta, if a person will recite Birchas HaMazon on Shabbos, Chanukah, and he'll say, Ritzei, you know, forget to say Al HaNisim, he'll have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon because of the forgetting Al HaNisim. Because since you were mechuyev to eat because of Shabbos, even though you're not mechuyev to eat mitam Chanukah, since you were obligated to eat that meal, so you're obligated to mention both Shabbos and Chanukah, and it's Li'ikuvah. But in the Shulchan Aruch, that is not mentioned. We pass on Halacha Natzah. If a person forgets Al HaNisim, even on Shabbos Chanukah, he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. In addition to Halal V'Hodoya, that's mentioned in the Brais and Megillas Tainis, the Brais Megillas Tainis preceded the Mishnayos, as we mentioned. It was written down before the Mishnayos. So in addition to Halal on Chanukah and Hoidoya al HaNisim in the Shemone Esrei, there's also a Takana of Hadlokas HaNeiros. The Rambam writes that the Chachamim in that generation introduced the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeiros. Some Achrenim were skeptical about this, some Achrenim raised the possibility, and never says this in the Gemara, what the Rambam writes. So some Achrenim thought that maybe the Takana of Hadlokas HaNeiros Chanukah was introduced after the Churban HaBayis as a zecher to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's not 100% clear. The Rambam writes, it must have some source, the Rambam writes that the Chachamim Sheba'osa Hador, everything in the Rambam is quotation. Unless he writes Yeroyali, sometimes writes Yeroyali on very elementary things, the Rambam asks, why did he write Yeroyali? That's obvious that that's Pshat. The Rambam is always very careful. Everything is a direct quotation, either from the Gemara, from the Yerushalmi, from the Tosefta, from the Tshuva Sagayim, he's always quoting. And he has less than 100 times he writes Yeroyali, everything. He must be quoting this also, that he wrote, the Chachamim Sheba'osa Hador introduced Hadlokas HaMenorah. There's a fellow Deutsch in Borough Park who has a museum about with Torah artifacts. It's very valuable things. He has millions of dollars worth of things in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. He has baskets in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, things from Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni. He claims that he has a menorah that he says was dated from the time of the Bais Sheni. He says it's befeirish. The scientists experimented, and he said they tested it, and they said this menorah with holes for eight places to put wicks. He said it's from before the Churban Bayis. He says that the Rambam is right, that the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah existed bizman HaBayis. It wasn't introduced after the Churban HaBayis. The Gemara seems to say, and the Shulchan Aruch makes this very clear, although there was some later poskim who disputed, but that's the way it's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch. You're only in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah if you're madlik b'beiso. That that person is in his office until 9 to 5, so he's going to light the menorah at 4:30. So you're not yotze. The office, a person goes to college, he's going to light the menorah in his college place. So you're not yotze. The person is going to light the menorah in Times Square. So he's going to make a lot of pesumi nisa, but he's not yotze the mitzvah. The Bissiminis is supposed to be through fulfillment of the mitzvah. It says in the Shulchan Aruch we have a minhag to light the menorah in shul and to say brachas on the menorah. So that's a problem. The Mechaber Rabbi Yosef Kara quotes this minhag. So the Be'er HaGoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch writes the Kasha, but Rabbi Yosef Kara, the Mechaber himself, is the one who's of the opinion that one does not recite a bracha when fulfilling a minhag. You don't say a bracha when you say Chatzi Hal on Rosh Chodesh. You don't say a bracha when you lat Madlik Neiros on Erev Yom Kippur, because the Mishnah says Himsach Memok Mishinagu Adlokas on Neiros on Erev Yom Kippur is a minig. It's not an obligation even with the Rabbanim. So why does Rabbi Yosef Kara write, how does he quote this practice that you light Neiris and Shul and you say all the brachas, the Chazan who lights Neiris says the bracha, why? But the Mechaber himself holds you don't say a bracha. So that's a murderous kasha. They try to give terutzim on their kasha. Why the Mechaber all of a sudden writes over here that you say brachas and Shul when you're madlik, even though it's only a minig? Point to the minig Ashkenaz, it's not a kasha. You say a bracha when you do a, when you fulfill a minig as well. But in the Shulchan Aruch it says that no one is yotzi with the hadlok and shul. Even the chazan who said the brachas is not yotzi because it's not beisa. Hadlokah has to be b'beisa.
Can the chazan who said the bracha go home and say no bracha?
Yeah, the pashtus says when he goes home he has to light and say the bracha at home. The Shari Tshuva next to the Beheitev came up with a chiddush. He quotes earlier poskim who came up with a chiddush that since he said shachyanu. So Shachyanu, you can be yotzi even not at the time of Hadlokas HaNer. Shachyanu, you can say even when you're walking in the street, Zman, Omer Afila Bashuk. The Gemara says, Shachyanu, Lazman HaZeh, the Bracha of Shachyanu is called the Bracha of Zman, that you can say even not at the time that you're fulfilling the mitzvah. So he thinks that the Chazan goes home, you shouldn't say Shachyanu, unless his wife and his children didn't hear Shachyanu yet. If they need Shachyanu, he can say for them. But if he's Madlik while on his own, he shouldn't repeat Shachyanu. Exactly what is Beisa? You say you're only Yotze if you do Hadlaka B'Beisa. What is Beisa? So there is a discussion in Maseches Erevin, towards the end of Maseches Erevin. The din is that on Shabbos, Al Yotze Ish Memkomo, there's a din of Trumin. You're not allowed to go Chutz L'Trum. So Chutz L'Trum depends where your bias is. If you have many, if you have in New York, you have hundreds of thousands of Batim. So the whole city is one big city, Kedal Ramazdam, and everybody has the same Trum Shabbos. What if a person lives all alone in the mountains, there is no city. Then you measure Alpai Mama from his home. So what if he has two homes? In one home he sleeps, in one home he eats. And they're a few blocks away from each other. So which one is considered Beisa? So that's a machlokes, seems to be a machlokes in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. Is Makom Pita Pas, the place where he eats his bread, Makom Pita Gorim, or is Makom Lina Gorim, the place where he sleeps? So the Gemara explains it's not really a machlokes. Sometimes makom pita, sometimes makom lina. So the Gemara says like this. The students used to have a dormitory in the days of the Amoraim, but they didn't have a cafeteria. So they didn't eat all together. They used to sleep in a dormitory in the yeshiva, and they used to eat by balabatim. When they ate by the balabatim, that's how it used to be in Europe before the Second World War. They used to eat kest. They used to eat teg. They say flegnes and teg. Every Wednesday they ate by this person, every Shabbos they ate by that person. Sometimes they missed the day, they didn't have anything to eat. They didn't have normal meals. So just like in the days of the Gemara, so too in the days of the yeshivas, the Lithuanian yeshivas, when the boys would eat by balabatim, a lot of times the balabatim wouldn't treat them nicely. Their own children, they would give a whole big plate full of food. And the yeshiva bracha was a freeloader, so they would give them less. They would treat them like stepchildren. So the Gemara says, because the students didn't enjoy eating by the balabatim, because they felt very uncomfortable there, and they enjoyed sleeping in the dormitory better, so the place where they slept was more pleasant than the place where they ate. So that's called Beisa. If one is more pleasant than the other, that's called Beisa. The Magen Avraham has a klal based on this, that what if they're both fairly pleasant, but one is more private than the other? Let's say Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer, in the Igros Moshe, in the cafeteria you can have at any given time 75 people can be eating at the same time. In the dormitory rooms you only have two or three or four people in a room, six people in a room. How many people do you have in a room? So because the bedroom is more private and the cafeteria is more public, so the one that's more private is considered more basal. But what happens, let's say I have an apartment and then one night of Hanukkah I'm eating by my in-laws, meeting by my children. So can I be madlik there in the place where I eat? So the Mishnah Berurah says no. He quotes Olachem, no. You're only eating there temporarily. You're going back to go to sleep at home. That's kavua. So if one is beso kavua, one is beso aroi. So the kavua beats out the aroi. That's for sure.
What if you're going to eat and sleep there just for one night?
If I'm going to eat and sleep in a place for one night, so the Gemara calls that achsenoi. He's a guest. Achsenoi is a technical term. Tosis and Erevin points out there's a din in Erevin also, a special din for Achsenoi. Achsenoi, Tosis quotes, Yerushalmi means that he's there for less than 30 days. If the fellow is there for more than 30 days, then he's considered one of the Bnei Habayis. So the Balabais is Madlik, and everybody, all of Bnei Habayis are Yotzi, even though they're not blood relatives, It's a person who's been living there for over 30 days. Achsonai means one is there for less than 30 days. So the Gemara says he's also chayv in hadlokas neiros Chanukah. One could have argued the point and said this is not beisa at all. He's only a guest over here. It's not his baisa. There's no way that he can fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says a chiddush. No, Achsonai is chayv in ner Chanukah. And how does he fulfill the mitzvah of ner Chanukah? So the Rambam seems to have understood the Gemara as saying the only way the Achsonai can fulfill a mitzvah is alidei mishtatet bepruto. He should give the balabasa a nickel to be kind of shutfis in the candles, or the oil and the wicks, whatever he's using. And when it becomes a shutf, then he's considered one of bnei abayis, agav the balabais. But he cannot light his own menorah, since it's not really his bias. The balabais lives here permanently. If I'm renting a motel room, nobody else lives in the room. I'm there all by myself. Or I'm a guest in someone else's home and they give me my own private bedroom and I can light in the bedroom. So that's basic. I'm not sharing it with anybody else. Even though I'm only there for less than 30 days, but that's basically, I'm not sharing it with anybody else. But let's say they're not going to let me light in the bedroom. They're afraid there's going to be a fire there. So they want me to light in the living room where everybody else is going to light the neris. So then the Rambam seems to have understood the Gemara. The living room, the family who lives there, kavua, it's their bias. The one is only a guest. He's not a guest for more than 30 days. He's there for less than 30 days. It's not really his bias. The only way he's considered one of the bnei bias is if he'll be mishtatet bepruta, but he can't light his own menorah. The Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Achronim and say not so. Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote even that anybody disagrees. He just says that if the Achsonoi wants to light his own menorah, that's certainly fine. But that's only by Medvah Mamorim. He's going to eat and sleep over there. But if he's only eating there, and then he's going to go back home to sleep in his own home on the same night, so you have two competing batim, the bais where he's eating temporarily, only tonight, he's a guest, and the bais where he's going to go to sleep, that's beis el kavua, so the beis el kavua wins. The Mishnah Berurah has a lot of rules and regulations, all based on Gemaras. With respect to hadlokas neiros Chanukah, with respect to hadlokas neiros Shabbos, with respect to Tchum Shabbos, with respect to Erev Chatzeres also, it's one big Gemara. You have to be kaveya, which is based on. So exactly where do you have to light? So you have to light al pesach habayis mibachutz. If you're going to light in the house, only the members of the family will see. You should light al pesach habayis mibachutz. It has to be light. You can't light in Times Square. That's too far away. The further away you light, so the more pisumi nisa you're going to accomplish, but it won't be related to your bayis. The takana satanayim was you should do the hadlaka that it should be mitzuruf to your bayis. So Rashi understood in the Gemara you have to be madlik al pesach habayis on the outside of the bayis. In the days of the Tanaim, you used to have batim, separate homes, and then there was a chotzer. Like by us, you have different apartments on the floor, then you have the whole floor. So Rashi's opinion is that you're supposed to be madlik al pesach habayis, not al pesach chotzer. Tosis disagrees with Rashi, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosis that more proper is to accomplish more pisumin nisa, to light al pesach hachotzer on the entrance to the chotzer, or in the chotzer, or al pesach habayis, anyone. The further out it is, so the more pisumin nisa one will accomplish. Mishnah Berurah writes he's not so convinced that we should follow the Shulchan Aruch because Rashi doesn't stand alone. A small group of Rishonim agree with Rashi that you can't be madlik al pesach hachotzer. You have to be madlik dafka al pesach habayis. Today the Chazon Ish pointed out that in Hilchas Erevin and Hilchas Shabbos, the Ramah quotes from the earlier Poskim from the Trumas Hadeshim, we don't really have a chotzer. In an apartment building, let's say you have apartments on one floor, then you have the hallway of the floor. So do people ever make a picnic on the hallway? Not really. In some apartment buildings in the neighborhood, the kids will eat their pizza on Leil B'dikas Chometz, because the mother of the household doesn't want any more chametz in the house, and they want to have a bagel, a sandwich, or a pizza. So the mother will tell them, sit and eat in the hallway. She doesn't want any chametz in her home. So once a year, they'll eat there. No one's going to sit and do their homework in the hallway of an apartment building. You never use it for any hishtamshus. So that's what the Ramah says, that bizman hazeh, we don't have a din of chotzer. In the dormitories, probably not so. Probably the halls, people go to take a shower, they walk down the halls, or they walk sometimes from the third floor to the second floor in their pajamas, in their bathrobe. They go from one room to the other, they're friendliest. It's like maybe the hallways in the dormitory are considered a chatzin. But let's say the hallway is in an apartment building and a light downstairs in the lobby of the apartment building. That's Pesach, that's not Pesach HaChatzah, that's like Pesach HaMavui. That's too far away from the house. And the dormitories in the yeshiva, so that's the room to say that if you light in the hallway or you light in the lounge on your floor or maybe another floor, so that's maybe that's considered a chotzer. Usually we assume that there's no din chotzer bizman hazeh. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos has the whole discussion of Hilchas Chanukah in Perek Lamed Madlikin. In contrast to Hadlokas Neir Shabbos, the Gemara says all the dinim of Hadlokas Neir is Chanukah. In what way are they similar? In what way are they dissimilar? So the Gemara has a shaila. What if the person is so poor he simply cannot afford to buy both Neir for Shabbos and Neir for Chanukah? So which of the two mitzvahs should he fulfill? You can't kill two birds with one stone. If you're going to be madlik the Neir l'shem Chanukah, also l'shtamish l'or on Neir. So you won't be able to have it on the table. The whole purpose of Neir Shabbos is you should eat the meal. You should see what you're doing. So if you're going to light the Neir Shabbos, l'shem Neir Chanukah, so you're not allowed to use it to get hanah from it. So it's a toss-up. He only has enough money to buy one candle. Should he use that one candle for Neir Chanukah and eat in a different room, eat in a dark room and not enjoy seeing the food? Or should he use the money to buy the Ner Shabbos and not fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? So the Gemara says that because the purpose of the Ner Shabbos is for Shalom Bayis doesn't only mean he shouldn't have a fight with his wife. Shalom Bayis means he shouldn't trip over the Eitzim Bavonim in the house. It should be more comfortable. So therefore the Gemara says Ner Shabbos takes precedence. So takes precedence means if he only has enough money for Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah, it's a toss-up. He should buy Ner Shabbos. But the Gemara says it takes precedence. And many Rishayim say it takes precedence also. What if you do have enough money for both? We can afford to buy Ner for Shabbos and also to buy a Ner for Chanukah. So which of the two mitzvahs should you fulfill first? And which should you do second? So most of the Rishayim say Ner Shabbos takes precedence. So it comes first. At first it should be madlik Ner Shabbos. And then you should be madlik Ner Chanukah. And all the Rishonim quote is Sefer Halachas Gedolah says not so. Sefer Halachas Gedolah is written in the days of the Gaonim. We're not sure exactly who wrote it. Tosfos always assumes that it was written by Rabbi Yehuda Igoi. The Gaonim, the yeshivas in Bavel were called, in Eretz Yisrael also, the yeshivas were called Gaon Yankif. The pride of the Jewish people. Gaon means proud, pride. So the head of the yeshiva, the fundraiser, the president of the yeshiva, was called Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yankif. Some of them were not such big Gaonim, some of them were not such big Talmid Chachamim. And then the famous ones, Rav Shreiri Gaon, Rav Yudoi Gaon, Rav Hai Gaon, Rav Sadi Gaon. There were some of them who were very famous. And some of the others were not so learned. So Rav Yudoi Gaon was one of those Rosh Yeshiva. So Tosfos always assumes Rav Yudoi Gaon wrote the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. And the Ramban always assumed that it was written by Rav Shimon Kayora, someone who lived in Cairo. But it was in the days of the Goyim, that's for sure. And he has all traditions. Even when he says things that Tosfos doesn't agree with, Tosfos always says you've got to respect the opinions of the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. It's called Dvar V'Dibur Kabbalah. He's writing all the traditions that they had from the days of the Amoraim, probably. The Goyim followed the Rabbanus Avarai, followed the Amoraim, the Tanoim. They had very old traditions. So even when Tosfos doesn't agree halacha l'maisa with the sefer halachas gedolos, he say called Dvar V'Dibur Kabbalah. He's writing old traditions, so we shouldn't pick on him. So here, all the Rishonim quote from the sefer halachas gedolos. He was of the opinion that once the mother of the household, whoever lights the neir Shabbos, whoever benches licht, then it becomes kabbalas tasef Shabbos bal korcho for all the members of the household. You're not allowed to daven mincha. After you makal b'shabbos, you're not allowed to daven tefilas chol mincha. You have to daven before. So that was the practice in the days of the Balei HaTosfos. They would go to shul to daven mincha erev Shabbos. Then they would send one of the children home to tell the mother she can bench licht. Because if the mother would bench licht beforehand, all the father with the children wouldn't be allowed to daven mincha. You're not allowed to daven tefilas chol after you makal b'shabbos. So that we don't follow. That part of Rabbi Doigo and that part of the Halal Zos, we don't follow. But half of it we do follow, lechatchila. We follow the halachas gedolos that for the woman who lit the candles, it's kabbalas toshev for Shabbos bal korcha, unless it's really a shas hatchat, then we won't follow the halachas. We really hold that he's wrong. We really hold it's not correct. It's based on a Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara says that Erev Yom Kippur, once you say Shachyonu on Erev Yom Kippur, becomes Kabbalas Tosefes Yom Kippur. You can't recite Shachyonu on Erev Yom Kippur. You say Shachyonu like on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah. So usually you say Shachyonu at the end of Kiddush. On Yom Kippur you don't say any Kiddush. You're not allowed to drink any wine. So the Gemara said, but you still got to say Shachyonu. So say Shachyonu without a kos. So the Gemara says, why don't you say Shachyonu while a kos and drink the wine? Say Bar Pragov and Shachyonu, drink the wine. And drink it before Yom Kippur enters. So Gemara says you can't. Once you say Shachyanu, it's Kabbalah's Tosefes Yom Kippur. Can't say Shachyanu on Erev Yom Kippur. So based on that, Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Goyen writes in the Halachas Gedolos, when you bench lift and say L'ha Dehinei Shal Shabbos, it becomes Shabbos. Just like we say Shachyanu, V'Yigyanu L'Azman Hazeh, it becomes Tosefes Yom Kippur. So when you madlik Neiris and you say L'ha Dehinei Shal Shabbos, it becomes Tosefes Shabbos. All of the Rishonim disagree with the Halachas Gedolos. What's the comparison? Shachyanu is a bracha that's supposed to be recited on Yom Kippur. So we say Shachyanu on Yom Kippur. So implicitly you are mekabel tasefes Yom Kippur. Otherwise the Shachyanu would be a bracha of Atala. What are you saying Shachyanu on Erev Yom Kippur? But la'alik neshal Shabbos, hadlokas haner is a mitzvah that's done on Erev Shabbos. So why should that be kabbalas tasefes Shabbos? So all the Rishonim say they really think that he's wrong. And really, Ner Shabbos should take precedence to Ner Chanukah, and not only precedence, if you can't afford both, only buy a Ner Shabbos and forget about Ner Chanukah. It should take precedence. You should like Ner Shabbos before Ner Chanukah. But we don't do that. We follow the Hatchila. We follow the Halachas Gedolos. That Hadlokas HaNer is Kabbalas Tosefes Shabbos. So we always madlik Ner Chanukah before we madlik Ner Shabbos. In the Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion of Ramah says the Gemara has a machloikis in Perek Bamem Adlikin. What if a person lit Neris Chanukah and the candles go out in the middle? So if you assume it has to burn for half an hour or whatever, the Rambam says Kemo Chatzi Shua. So if it has to burn as long as people are roaming around, then Ner Chanukah is supposed to burn. So let's say it goes out in the middle. You prepare the candle that it should burn the whole night, and then it went out in the middle. So the Gemara says Kofs up and Ner Chanukah went out. You're not obligated to rekindle it. So what if I lit the Ner Chanukah on Erev Shabbos and I wasn't yet Mekabel Shabbos, I didn't go to shul yet, and then Ner Chanukah went out accidentally, the Ner Chanukah went out. So there are more quotes from the Trumas Hadeshim from the early in Paskin that even if it's Erev Shabbos and you didn't even begin to have any Pirsum in Nisa, still the Din is not Kopsa in Zokkaplo. You're not obligated to rekindle the Ner Chanukah. The Taz disagrees with the Ramon. He thinks, what are you talking about? On a normal night, you lit the Ner Chanukah, so there's only Pirsumi Nisa for 5 minutes, and you want to have a few hours. So, but yeah, but 5 minutes is enough. There's no requirement to rekindle it. But if the Ner went out before Shabbos began, you lit the Ner late on Friday afternoon, then it goes out before Shabbos. So you didn't even begin to have any Kema Mitzvah. It didn't even come Tzeisah Kochavim yet. So the task things you have to rekindle the menorah and say bracha all over again. So the common practice is that because of this machloikah, so you rekindle on Erev Shabbos, you would light it again without a bracha, because the Taz takes issue with the Ramon. On Matzoi Shabbos, there's a machloikah in the Shulchan Aruch. Which should you do first? So the Shulchan Aruch says you should first be madlik Neris Chanukah and then recite Havdolah Lakos. You're not allowed to be madlik Neris Chanukah before you say Atochan Antonim. So you got to first daven on Myra, say Atochan Antonim. Then you're permitted to do Malacha, then you light Neris Chanukah, and then you recite Havdalah second. Why do you have it in that order? Havdalah is 52 times a year, and Neris Chanukah is only 8 times a year. So why not say Torah V'Sheinah Torah, Torah Kodesh? Havdalah is all year long. Neris Chanukah is only Chanukah. So it's Torah V'Sheinah Torah, Torah Kodesh. So they say, no, that the Pisumi Nisa should take precedence, so we should light the Ner Chanukah first. And then number two, Kol HaPukei Yamim Me'achrinim. The official bidding for a wealth to Shabbos is by reciting the Havdalah, so you should postpone the Havdalah. If you have two mitzvahs to do, Ner Chanukah and Havdalah, so you should postpone Havdalah to be second. That's how the Shulchan Aruch passes. Taz has a long essay. Taz has a long arichas, and he takes issue with the Shulchan Aruch. He thinks that it's not right. He thinks that you should really say Havdalah first. What do you mean you want to postpone Shabbos? But when you light the Neris Chanukah, you're doing a malacha, so you're not accomplishing, you're not accomplishing your goal. You're not succeeding in postponing, in prolonging Shabbos any further. So he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. He thinks that you should first say Havdalah, and then light Neres Chaim Kippur. He says, what can I do? It's such an accepted practice all over the world. Everybody knows that in Shul, first you light Neres Chaim, and then you say Havdalah later. So he says, in Shul, you can't change the minute. It's too strong. But at home, he thinks everyone should do the way he says. You should first say Havdalah, and then light Neres Chaim. So that's what Hasidim followed in Taz. And Taz was not a Chassid, but the Hasidim usually follow that Taz, that in Shul, the first light Neres Chanukah, then say Havdalah. When they go home, they'll reverse it. First say Havdalah, and then light Neres Chanukah. The Vilna Gaon writes in one line, he writes, look in the Taz, and he's all wrong. Called Dvarav Dechuyim. Everything the Taz says is wrong. So the Vilna Gaon subscribes to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Misnagdim follow the Vilna Gaon and the Shulchan Aruch. So they do both in Shul and at home the same thing. You light Neres Chanukah first, and then you recite Havdalah afterwards. So the different practices. The Hasidim follow the Taz, that at home they reverse the order, and the Misnagdim follow the Vilna Gaon and the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says you have to be careful when you light the menorah, you shouldn't have a medura. For Havdalah, we say medura is a mitzvah min amuvcha, it's preferable. So that's why in the Havdalah candle you have three or four wicks on top. So that's considered a medura. When you have more than one wick, and it makes a tremendous flame. But for Neiris Chanukah, you have to make sure you only have one wick. And you should make sure the Neiris are not in a circular shape. If you're going to have a menorah in a circular shape, so that from a distance it may look like a medura, like a big bonfire. So that's not proper. Then some are of the opinion, it says in Shulchan Aruch also, you shouldn't have a menorah with the lights going in and out. It should be in one straight row. So that's a discussion in Poskim. One straight row, what if it goes up and down? A lot of menorahs reach a point in the middle and then it goes down. So some Poskim say that is acceptable. That doesn't look like Madura. Madura is only if it goes in and out or if in a circular shape. That's an issue of when is it considered a Madura, when not. We have a Pasuk that says, Chakasukas Tasalacho Shivas Yamin Ba'as Pacham Migornacha Omi Yikvecha. So the simple translation of the Pasuk means you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot, Chakasukas Tasalacho Shivas Yamin, for a duration of 7 days, Ba'as Pacham Migornacha Omi Yikvecha, at the ingathering season of the year. All summer long in Eretz Yisrael it doesn't rain. After the summer it's going to start to rain, after Zayin Cheshvan. So you have to bring all the stuff in from the farm, from the field, into the barn, into the silo, that it shouldn't get rained on. That's Ba'as Pacham Megarnecha Mikrem. So the Gemara says that Torah Shebal Peh has an additional level of interpretation on that whole pasuk. Sukkas Tasa L'choy, she constructed the sukkah. Tasa B'lamin Ha'asim. Shivas Yamim, the sukkah should be starting off to last for 7 days. If you have a sukkah, she'en erui l'chol shiva, you have a sukkah that looks like it's going to collapse within 7 days, then you're not even yoytze before it collapses. And what should your sukkah be made from? What should the schach consist of? The schach should be from solus garm v'yekev, which means it should be gedulei karka, it should be something that grows from the ground, as opposed to metal doesn't grow from the ground, it's the ground itself. And it should be tolush, it should be detached from the ground. It should be dov v'shein in the kabal tumah. So that's the additional level of interpretation of the pasuk, but the word chag stands out. How do you read? You read the pasuk as if it wouldn't say chag. It says sukkah, tassel l'chol, you should construct the sukkah. Tassel l'menos, shiva sam should be starting up to last for 7 days. So the whole additional level of interpretation that the Torah Shabbat gives to this pasuk is fine, it's beautiful, but the word chag stands out. So the Gemara says, no, chag asukkah is the word chag. In biblical Hebrew, the word chag only refers to a holiday when you offer a korban chagiga. Korban chagiga is a shalmi chagiga, the shlamim that you're obligated to bring on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. Shalosh Regalim, all the men are obligated to visit the Beis Hamikdash, visit the Azora, and to bring three korbanos, Riyah Chagiga and Simcha. So that's the shalmi chagiga. So the Gemara says, Chag HaSukkot Tasalucho, according to the additional level of interpretation that the Torah Shebaal Peh gave to this pasuk, the whole pasuk is speaking about constructing the sukkah. And the word, it's not talking about the holiday at all. And the word chag is a reference to the korban chagiga, that the sukkah is compared to a korban chagiga. Kishem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga. Just like the korban chagiga has kedusha, It's a korban. Korban shlamim. Kachal shem shamayim ala sukkah. That the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvasa. So that's the original pasuk in Chumash, that there is an institution of hooked to the mitzvasa on the sukkah. Then the Gemara says hooked to the mitzvasa applies also to the esrig and to the hadassim. The esrig is normally eaten. It's a citrus fruit. People, the aris regim don't taste good, but the tamari aris regim are very pleasant, like an orange, like a regular citrus fruit. So since the ikar of an esrog is to eat it, so the esrog is hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to eat it. The ikar of hadassim is to smell it as a fragrant smell, so it's hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to smell it. The esrog you may smell. It's only hooked to the mitzvah so for its ikar shetamshu. So from that pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecha, that Kishem Shechal Shem Shamayim Ala Korban Chagiga, Kachal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah, we derive from there to all mitzvahs. That every mitzvah, every Tashmishay mitzvah, is hooked to the mitzvah of Bizmana mitzvah. Ramban says that this is the basis of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara talks about Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, that you have to show Kovet to the Beis HaKnesses. Where is the source of the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses? So the Ramban says, because the Beis HaKnesses is a structure that enables you to daven better. You go to shul, you can daven better than if you daven at home. So therefore the Beis HaKnesses is a Tashmishay mitzvah. So it calls upon the Jews to live in the neighborhood, and they're going to come back to daven in the shul. The shul has kedusha. Once everybody moves out to the suburbs, and no one's going to daven any longer in the shul. So the Ramban writes on Maseches Megillah that minatar the kedusha is gone, like the sukkah after sukkah is over, like the esrog and the hadassim after sukkah is over, the hooks and the mitzvah is over. So the same the Ramban says, after everybody moves out of the neighborhood, no one's going to daven in the shul anymore. That's it. So in Atar, the Kedusha goes off, and it's only with the Rabbanon then that you have to be paid at the shul, you have to sell it and take the money, and Malam HaKodesh will omarid, and use the money to buy something on a higher level than the shul, to buy an Aron Kodesh, or to buy a Sefer Torah, or something like that. So here we have a din of hooked to the mitzvah, say, on the Ner Chanukah. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos that the Ner Shabbos is hooked to the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to light Ner Shabbos. So the Shemen and the Ner Shal Shabbos is a hooks in the mitzvah say until it goes out. Once it goes out, so the Zman HaMitzvah is up. So what's with the Ner is Chanukah? So the Pashtus is that the Ner Chanukah is hooks in the mitzvah say also leishtamish lior aner. You're not allowed to read using the light that comes out from the Ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to count your change in your hand. You're not even allowed to read a sefer. Not only to count change, that's a tashmish shel genai, that's a secular hishtamsh, even to learn a sefer, that's what the Balamor points out, it's also awesome, because of the hooked in the mitzvah. So how long is it hooked in the mitzvah? So the pashtus is, just like on Ner Shabbos, once the candle goes out, the Zman HaMitzvah is up, so it should have been the same on Chanukah. Or maybe you should say to the end of Chanukah, okay, just like the Sukkah is hooked in the mitzvah, all 7 days of Sukkah, all 8 days of Sukkah, so for the 8 days of Chanukah, the Shemen is hooked in the mitzvah. But after Chanukah is over, it ought to really be no longer hooked to the mitzvah. So the She'iltis quotes a braisa. We don't have any source for the braisa. The She'iltis quotes the Tana Rabbanon that the leftover Shemen of Psilos, if I bought Shemen of Psilos and I never used them for Chanukah, that's not hooked to the mitzvah. That's called Hazman Alam Milsi. I designated the Shemen and the Psilos to use it for Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, but I never did. So Hazman Olam Milsi, he doesn't become Asabana. But if I did use it for Ner Chanukah, and it went out in the middle of the first half hour, so true, you're not muhiv to light it again, but the rest of the Shemen, that would have, if it goes out after the first half hour, then the Shulchan Aruch says, there's no more hook to the mitzvah. It's already Lach Hazman HaMitzvah. Whatever oil is left over from the half hour, didn't even burn a half hour, that'll remain hooked to the mitzvah even after Chanukah is over. So all the Rishonim ask the Kasha, they don't understand the Shultas. They think it doesn't make any sense. How can it be? Chanukah is over. It's no longer hooked to mitzvah. Like the Sukkah. Sukkah is the original Pasuk in Chumash. It's only hooked to mitzvah until Yantav Sukkah is over. Once Sukkah is over, it's no longer hooked to the mitzvah. Why should it be different over here? But that's the accepted. The Shultas was written by Rav Achoy. He himself was not a Goen. He lived in the days of the Goen. He wasn't one of the presidents of the yeshivas in Bavel. He was able to learn. Whoever was the Rosh Yeshiva's Goen Yankov had to raise all the money. So the Shultas had a lot of time on his hands to learn, and he wrote a sefer. Probably whoever was the Goen during his lifetime didn't have a chance to write a sefer. So because the Shultas lived in the days of the Goenim, so the Rishonim don't want to argue with them. So that's what they call it in Shulchan Aruch. That you have leftover oil, a wicks that you did light with. If you never lit with them, we say Hazman Allah Milsi. If you lit, then it burned for half an hour. So finished. It's Lach Hazman HaMitzvah. But if it burned for part of the time, not all of the time, then it remains hooked to the mitzvah. And then if the Chanukah is over, it still remains hooked to the mitzvah. So it's very difficult, but that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. All the Rishonim think it's difficult, but they say we got to follow the Shultas. The Shach and Yerideya, the Simon Tzadik Tes, has a certain kasha. He thinks he has a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. So in order to answer the kasha of the Shach, different suggestions are given. So one of the suggestions is that even though the Beis Ephraim is a Shadus of Tshuvas from the early 1800s. He is a contemporary of Rav Chaim Volozhin. He corresponded with Rav Chaim Volozhin. Beis Ephraim was a businessman. He was not the rabbi. He was not the rabbi in his city. The rabbi is not as famous as the Balbos. The rabbi wrote a sefer on Chulin Lev Aryeh that used to be a classic. I happen to use it. Most people never heard of it now. And the Beis Ephraim was a wealthy, successful businessman, and he wrote shulas and in history. He went down. He's more famous than the rabbi of his village. So to answer the kasha of the Shach and Yerbedeya, the Beis Ephraim has a fantastic suggestion that even though the obligation to light Ner is Chanukah is only by the Rabbanim, but to hook to the mitzvahs on the Shemen of the Ner Chanukah could be Minat Torah. And whenever you're obligated by the Rabbanim to perform a mitzvah, true, the obligation to perform the mitzvah, the Chovas HaGavra is only by the Rabbanim, but once you do the mitzvah, the Kiyam HaMitzvah, that could be that constitutes a mitzvah on the level of their Isa, mitzvah kiyumis, on the level of their Isa, and it'll be hooked to the mitzvahs in the Torah. So that's a discussion, and Rabbi Yosef Engel has a discussion whether should we accept this chiddush of the Beis Ephraim. Is he right, is he wrong? So he goes fishing through Shas to demonstrate whether it's correct or not. That when you do a mitzvah mid Rabbanon, even though the Chovas HaGavra is only mid Rabbanon, the kiyum could be in the Torah. So the source for the whole Yom Tov of Chanukah is in Megillas Tainis. That's the earliest source than the Mishnayos. And then we have a lot of brises in Maseches Sofrim. Maseches Sofrim is not from the Mishnayos that was edited by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. It's not a brisa either. The Tosefta that we have are brises. Maseches Sofrim was written after the days of the Talmud by the Gaone Eretz Yisrael. They were Gaonim and Eretz Yisrael, Gaonim and Bavel at the same time. Different yeshivas, and the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah the Masech HaSofrim was composed by the Gaon Eretz Yisrael, and has a lot of times things that we just don't follow, because whenever there's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Rishalmi, so the Rif writes at the end of Erev, and we follow the Bavli, we follow the Minhagim from Bavli, we don't follow the Minhagim from Eretz Yisrael. So a lot of times there are things in the Masech HaSofrim that we just don't follow. So here also the Perek Chof and Masech HaSofrim has a few passages about Chanukah, most of which we do not follow. A lot of it we do not follow at all. It's against all the Gemaras. But there are a few things that we do follow. So one thing is, when you light Neiris Chanukah, you have to recite HaNeiris Allah, Olam Madlikim Al Hanisim Al Hanflos, and so on. And the Gemara never says this, but this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the source being Maseches Sofrim. And Rav Soloveitchik said it could even be that the Masech HaSofrim is of the opinion that this is Li'ikuvah. If you don't sing Moaz Tzur, you can't say you're not Yotzeh HaDlok of Neiris Chanukah. Singing Moaz Tzur is only a custom, that's not Mirah M'chuyiv to. But reciting HaNeiris HaLol, it could be that it's Ma'akeh, because the mitzvah of HaDlok of Neiris Chanukah is supposed to be accomplishing Pesumi Nisam. And wherever else we have a mitzvah that's instituted for the purpose of accomplishing Pesumi Nisam, so you always tell the story. We say Shosa Nisim Labaseinu in connection with Ner Chanukah, because it's supposed to bring Pesumi Nisa. We recite the Bracha Shosa Nisim in connection with Migra Megillah. We read the whole Megillah, tells the whole story. We recite the Bracha on Leil Pesach, Haseba, and our Bekoses are for the purpose of Pesumi Nisa. That's how the Gemara says. And on Leil Pesach, true, we don't recite the Bracha Shosa Nisim Labaseinu, but Yom Ha'im as Man as that, but we recite another Bracha that substitutes for it. The Rishonim say that the bracha that we say in the middle of the Haggadah, Sher Gyalon, Vigwala, Savasani, Mirzam, Vigyano, Alayla, Zah, etc., that takes the place of the bracha of Sha'as Anisim. So on Pesach night, when you want to accomplish through the Esei Benar, because you want to accomplish Pesumi Nisa, so you recite the whole Agadah, you tell the whole story. So that's perhaps what the Masechta Sofer is driving at, that you have to say Haneris Halalu, because you recite the Bracha Shas Anisim in conjunction with Hadlokas Haneris, because you want to accomplish Pesumi Nisa. So Pesumi Nisa should be accomplished by telling a little of the story. So you have to at least recite Haneris Halalu. If you say more, is better. But you have to at least say Haneris Halalu. It could be that it's Ma'akev. Then there's another line in Masechta Sofer. It's hard to understand. Masechta Sofer says, how early can you light the menorah? So the Gemara says that some women used to bench licht. The whole sugya of Chanukah is in Perek Amem Madlikin. And the theme of the Mishnah says, Hadlokas Nerus Shabbos. That some of the Amoraim, they weren't also happily married. So they say, one of them had a wife, she was always late. Erev Shabbos, he was always benching licht late. So he was always encouraging his wife, darling, light a little earlier. Don't light so late. And the other one was such a tzaddik, she was lighting too early. So he said, it's too early, light a little later. So the Masechta Sofer writes an expression that you shouldn't light Ner Chanukah too early, because a mevorcham al haner ad sheyoso la'oro. You can only say a bracha on the ner if you get hanoah from the light. So if you're going to light too early in the afternoon, you can't get hanoah from the light. So that line doesn't make any sense. The din is, it says in Masechta Sofer, and there was a lot of kodesh and a lot of shoes in the shtamish ban. You're not allowed to use the light of the ner. So what do you mean? Ein mevrachem al haner. You only say brach on the ner Chanukah ad sheyoso la'ora. Till you get hanoah. Once you light it, you're not allowed to get hanoah. That line appears in the Gemara. Ein mevrachem al haner ad sheyoso la'ora in connection with the brach of bar mi'ar ha'esh of havdala. You can only say bar mi'ar ha'esh if you're close enough to the light that you'll be able to get hanoah. And if it's a bright enough light, if you have a 5-watt little bulb, a 2-watt bulb or something, and it hardly gives any illumination at all, so then you can say Bar Mir Hesh for Havdol. You can only recite Bar Mir Hesh Achi Yosalora. So how does the Masechta Sofer borrow that expression that appears in the Gemara Brachas with respect to the Brach of Havdolah, Bar Mir Hesh, and they borrow it with respect to Hadlokas Neres Chanukah? So the pshat probably is, that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, the pshat probably is, true, you're not allowed to get Hanoah from the Ner Chanukah, but the mitzvah was, the Takanos Chum was, you should create a Ner, Shel Chanukah. A Ner by definition means that it gives illumination. So if you're going to light the Ner at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, so it doesn't give any illumination. The Gemara has in a different Masif, the Gemara has an expression, Shraga b'tihara mayahani. Tihara means at noon, when the sun is above, and the whole world is flooded with light. So if you light a candle at high noon, what do you accomplish? Shraga b'tihara. Shraga means a candle. B'tihara, when it's noon, mayahani, what have you accomplished? You have to light the candle either balayla at night, or when it's beginning to get dark already. You have to plug a mincha. It's already, the sun is soon going to set, so it's beginning to get a little dark outside. So then it's considered an or haner. Before then, it's not considered an er. So that's what the Masechta Sofer says. You shouldn't light Chanukah candles too early, until that time, not till you get hanor from the Chanukah candles. You're not allowed to get hanor from until that time in the day that one would normally be able to get hanor from lighting a candle, a different candle. So then it's already nighttime, or towards the nighttime, then you can begin to light the candles. This idea of Shraga B'tihara, Mayahani, is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos. There's a machlokes, there's a mechaber and a ramo. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the text of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, if you have two families, live in two different homes, but they're going to eat together on Friday night at the same table. So one balabasta, so they both want to light candles, both women want to light candles. So whoever lights first says a brocha, whoever lights second can say a brocha, because the room is already lit up. The whole purpose of Hadlokas Neres Shabbos is to give illumination. Whoever lit first already brought the illumination. Whoever lights second can light, but they can't say a brach. So the Ramah takes issue with the Mechaber, and he says, no, if the first one lit at one end of the table, and it's a long table, and the second one lights at the other end of the table, so then the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalot, there's going to be Tosefes Ora V'Simcha. There will be additional illumination for the second family, they're going to sit over there. If they would have only had the two candles at this end of the table, it would be pretty dark at the other end. It's not going to be pitch black, but it's not going to be that the lights of the second balabas, the lights in a separate leichter, a separate candlestick in the other end of the table, and it's the sefer or a simcha, then it makes sense you can say a bracha. What happens a lot of times by us, the balabas is about the bench licht, and they have the chandeliers on. All the lights are burning brightly in the room. Then she lights the neiris for Shabbos. That's literally shraga b'tihara. That's like lighting candles at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that that's not proper. Just like you can't light candles too early in the afternoon because it doesn't have a shame neir, even if you're in the middle of the night, but you have big lights on and the whole room is flooded with lights. It's also a problem on shraga b'tihara. So that's really a problem by Hadlokas Neiris Chanukah also. You really shouldn't light in a room where you have all the big lights around. It's like lighting at noon, at high noon, shraga b'tihara. You have to light in a room where it's otherwise dark. So when you light the menorah, you have to have a shamas. Okay. So the shamas gives a little illumination. And then when you light the Neiris Chanukah, it gives more illumination. If you're going to have 30 people who are going to light Chanukah out on the same table, so the first five people are already lit. After the first five lights, what are the others? What illumination are they adding there? The whole room is already full of light. So the pashtus is, if you have a lot of people want to light, each one should light in a different location. You shouldn't all light in the same place. That's an issue of shraga v'tihara.
What about it, like the dormitory, they have like a lot of people just lighting right next to each other?
That's a big problem. Same thing when people go away for Shabbos or for Yantav to a hotel, they usually have all the women light at one table. What are they lighting at one table? First of all, the whole room is flooded with light. You have the lights from the ceiling. And then aside from that, the first five women lit already again. So what are the other 95 women lighting candles? What are they saying? A bracha. It's shraga b'tihara. You have to light in a separate location where you're lighting this Chanukiah is adding illumination. According to the Shulchan Aruch, that is a problem. Rosh Chodesh Tevis always falls out in the middle of Chanukah. Sometimes one day Rosh Chodesh, sometimes 2 days Rosh Chodesh. This year, Friday is Rosh Chodesh. One day Rosh Chodesh. Kislev is one of the months that sometimes has 29 days, sometimes 30 days. This year it's only 29 days, so there's only one day Rosh Chodesh. So what do you do with the Kriyas HaTorah? On Rosh Chodesh, the Takanas HaTanayim was you should learn 4 aliyahs in Musaf and Rosh Chodesh. And on Chanukah, the Takanas HaChachamim was to learn about Chanukah, the Karbanas HaNesim. So this Friday is what is the sixth day of Chanukah, so you're supposed to learn Bayom HaShishi. And you're supposed to learn Rosh Chodesh. So what do you learn first? So the Gemara has a discussion, and the Gemara says, Gemara Megillah, where it belongs, about Kriyas HaTorah, the end of Masechet is Megillah, the last parak. So the Gemara says, Chanukah is the less important. So you should first give 3 aliyahs from Rosh Chodesh. Usually on Rosh Chodesh we read over psukim, because we have to squeeze in 4 aliyahs, and there aren't enough psukim. If you're only giving 3 aliyahs, so there's no need to read over psukim. So you should give first 3 aliyahs in Rosh Chodesh, and after you finish that, then the 4th aliyah should be from the other Sefer Torah about Chanukah. So every year, there's at least one shul in New York City, probably half the shuls. There's at least one shul where they make a mistake, and they start laying Chanukah first. So that's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes the Abu Dram. That even if you made a mistake, and you started laying Chanukah first, you have to stop in the middle, take and roll this Sefer Torah to the right place till Rosh Chodesh, and then you have to lay Rosh Chodesh, and then afterwards you lay in Shul Chanukah. And the Taz disagrees. There's a long Taz, and here many Achronim do agree with the Taz. Taz disagrees, says that's Lachatchila, you're supposed to have read Rosh Chodesh first, 3 aliyahs Rosh Chodesh, and then 1 aliyah B'Shul Chanukah. But if you already started Rosh Chodesh, you already started Chanukah, so lay the whole Yom HaShishi, lay the whole Chanukah, 1 aliyah, and then give 3 aliyahs and the other Sefer Torah in Rosh Chodesh. That's the common practice. I'm sure there's so many minyanim in the yeshiva. I'm sure every year there's always one minyan on Rosh Chodesh where they make a mistake, and there's always a machlokes among the participants in the minyan. What's the best thing to do? But that's the general practice, is like the Taz over there. that if you made a mistake and you started with Chanukah, so you finish the Aliyah of the sixth day of the Chanukah Sanasiyim. The first Aliyah will be Chanukah, and then the next three Aliyahs will be Rosh Chodesh. Okay, enjoy the rest of Yom Tov. Good luck on your finals. Chazal well. Learn up the storm.